Good to be back with the assembly once again. I missed you guys on last week, and it's so good to see your faces again this week. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to come for the evening service to bring forth the lesson. The topic of the lesson today is going to be Let God's Word Be True and Every Man a Liar. Let God's Word Be True and Every Man a Liar. And I got a lengthy subject today, or a lengthy lesson, so y'all bear with me. But later on that subtopic, I'm going to get on to what I was speaking of a few months back, the mother of harlots. I want to touch on that just a second, but the topic is Let God's Word Be True and Every Man a Liar. And that's found in Romans chapter 3, verses 4. That states our topic, Let God's Word Be True and Every Man a Liar. And also in the book of Psalms, David wrote, Put your trust in no man. Put your trust in no man. So we as Christians, we must give the most earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time we let it slip, as the writer said, because we got to make sure that, like the brother prayed, that we focus on God's word instead of the word of man, because man would always let you down. You know, 9 times out of 10, you know, we rely on what yourself say or someone else say is going to let you down. So let's turn over to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 through 16, and let's get a little bit of the text to see what Paul had to say over here in the letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy, again, that's chapter 1, and that is 8 through 16. Bear with me here. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Verses 8 through 16. And it reads as following. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for homemongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who has before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we'll stop at verses 15. And basically Paul's saying he's not worthy here. It's a lot that you can gather from that text. We'll break it down. First and foremost, Paul said he put his trust in God and in God's word, which is according to Christ, chapter of John. God's word is Christ. So God, Paul said that he put his trust in God and God's word. And, the number two, we as men and women, we can do nothing by ourselves. We're sinners. And, only way we can be righteous is through Christ. And Paul wrote that in this letter. And he also says that if Christ wouldn't have come down, he was that perfect lamb to save us, we would never be able to be right. We would never be able to be perfect as well. So there's a lot that you can gather from that text right there. But the main thing is, through Christ, we are righteous. And again, you know, the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is truth? You know, men and women, we rarely can recognize what's truth right in front of us. The Pharisees had the truth right in front of them with Jesus Christ, and they didn't recognize what the truth was. And Jesus had to later tell them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. So Jesus is truth, and man is liar. So we have to hold on to God's word. And like the brother said in his prayer, we can't get involved with what's going on in the course of this world. We got to make sure that we hold on to God's word. Now, I get this topic Because if you guys don't know, I live with my leader of my marketing organization. We coexist well. He's my supervisor. That's my roommate. And he's a proud Republican. And he loves to have me around when he's listening to his political debates. Because number one, he knows that I'm not biased. You know, if you're Republican, Democratic, Independent, me personally, I believe in God's word and I don't side with any of them. So he loves to have me around because he knows I'm not biased. I'm going to combat what they say with the word of God. So he had me around one night and we were listening to one of the politicians. I won't say his name for the lack of being biased. And he said a statement. He said, this is what he said. He said, he's going to protect Christians. And, you know, the average ear, they will hear that and they will say, well, that's good. You know, we need to be in a nation where we are protected. We can worship God in spirit and in truth without being hindered. And I agree on that point. But as a member of the Church of Christ, when someone talks about the Church of Christ, you know, my antenna goes up because I want to make sure I dissect that at the best of my ability. So let's dissect that. First and foremost, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, any president nor politician that's a member of Christ Church. So I'm almost certain that he doesn't know the plan of salvation. Almost certain. I could be wrong. Nor Galatians 3:27, as many as been baptized have put on Christ. Therefore, how do he even know who he's protecting? So we got to believe, it's a saying, you got to believe, I think I'm going to get it wrong, so I won't say it. But I believe it's, you got to believe half what you hear, twice as what you see, or something like that. I won't get it wrong. But you can't dive into the words of a person without bringing it to the truth and the light. You got to be able to dissect everything that you hear, and you got to be able to prove all things, as Paul says in the letter. You got to be able to prove all things, especially as a Christian. So let's dissect what he said. He also said the word I. So first and foremost, we must do all things in the name of the Lord, not I. You know, Acts 4:12, it states that there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So that lets us know salvation means protection. Christ is our protector. You know, Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the savior of the body. If he's a savior of the body, his bride, his wife, his church, that means he's the protector of it. You know, another example in Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. All those things includes protection. Christ protects us. No man that doesn't even know anything about the institution can protect us, in my opinion. We can't even protect ourselves from a common cold. We can't protect our children when they leave home, our parents when they're left alone. We can't even protect our job security. So how can we have the audacity, the temerity, to make that statement that we're going to protect Christ's church? And first and foremost, you got to know who the church is to protect. So, with that being stated, we got to ask ourselves, we got to dig a little deeper and see why men make these bold statements. We got to ask ourselves, why men make these bold statements and, you know, make these laws and things that are unforgivable. Like, for example, President Obama, he made the same sex. You know, that's an unforgivable law. How does he have the audacity to do that? You know, the Bush administration, it can go every administration. There was controversy in there and there was lies and they were the producer of lies. Going back to Washington with our Declaration of Independence, you can see lies all through it. So we have to dissect these things and we can't put ourselves contrary to the word of God. We got to make sure that we prove all these things with our sound doctrine. But the answer lies in Ephesians, you know, 2,000 years ago, that's why I love this word of God. It foreshadowed everything that we're going through today. And it has the answers for all our issues today as well. The reason why men have this audacity to do these things is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13. Let's turn and let's read that, because it's real, real vital information in those two passages right there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And it reads as following. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's just verse 12 there. And we'll start and we'll dissect verse 12 for a second here. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but duplicity of the government would want us to have so. They would want us to be divided and have divisions based upon all these things that separate us. And we got to watch out for those things, because it's right here clear in the scriptures. Paul is letting the church at Ephesus know this is what we're going to wrestle with from AD 60, or approximately whenever it was, on up to 2016, we're still wrestling with the same things, and they're still using the same duplicity to keep us divided. Now, let's break down all the things we're wrestling with. We're going to break it down real quickly. It said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we do wrestle against lying people, you know, acting as rulers or principalities. You know, again, that's our presidents, our governors, our kings, dictators. When it says principalities, that means government. You know, dictators, those are the people that we're wrestling against this world. You know, the word of God is the most accurate and the truthful thing that we have to rely on. And we cannot rely on men's word. You know, one of the things we're wrestling against, church, is a thing they call Pareto's rule. It's an 80-20 rule. Just imagine 10 people. You know, two of those people, what statistics say in America, have more wealth than the other eight people. Those are the things that we're wrestling against. Greedy people. You know, Paul wrote about it in another letter, you know, there is about the greed of people, and the love of money is the root of all evil in Timothy. You know, those are the things that we're wrestling against. It's not about the actual flesh and blood itself, but it's about the haves and the have-nots. The folks that have in this country and around the world, they want to continue having, and they don't want others to have. The have and the have-nots, those are the things that we're wrestling against. But we got to be mindful of the word of God. You know, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So as the brother stated in his prayer, we got to focus on our goal. We got to set our affections on the things above and not on the things of this earth. You know, we wrestle against powers, which are authorities that keep our people submissive, the word of God says. Powers. You know, we wrestle against the rulers of darkness. Excuse me, the rulers of darkness in this world. You know, darkness is hard to see. You know, just like the 1% that own 98% of the wealth in this nation and control all the things. They're hard to see. You don't even know who they are. But it's 13 families based upon research. And it's others and that 1% that own 98% of the wealth of the nation. If they own all that, why are there people that's starving? Why are there people that don't have? Because it's greedy people, and that's what we wrestle against, stated in the word of God. You know, these people is one family that control the media. So everything that you hear on Fox and CNN, they're promoting it. You know, that same family, they've been sponsoring wars, and they've been sponsoring the ammunition for war since the time of Napoleon. That one family, you know, that's what we're wrestling against. It's not against flesh and blood. We got to make sure we keep our eyes on the prize, and we got to make sure that we stay in the truth and not hinder ourselves of what's going on with the world. You know, in addition to that, what we wrestle with, church, is Satan himself. We wrestle against Satan and his fallen angels. You know, since he got his eviction notice from heaven and he was kicked out along with the 33% of the angels, you know, he's been doing all he can to, because misery loves company. He's trying to invite us to the lake of fire, which he knows he has a part in one day. And we have to be mindful, because as Peter says, Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, he knows that he will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So that's what we wrestle against, him and his duplicity, his devices. And that's all the father of lies, what Christ called him, the father of lies. It is not of the truth. And in Revelation 17 and 5, we see that Christ had a plan of salvation, which we all are familiar with and we took a part of. And Satan has a plan of damnation. We also see that Christ has a church. And I'll try to give you an illustration. I'm not as good as Brother Tom. But Christ has a church. And he's the head of it. And Satan is, on the other side, here the father of lies. And he coincides with his mother of harlots. Now, Christ and Christ's church, let's stay with my illustration here. Christ and Christ's church produces Christians, produces the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and 15, it says that the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. You know, Christ and Christ's church also produces the truth itself. That's found in Ephesians 6, 13 through 20. It produces two institutions, the family and the church, as the brother stated that came a few weeks ago. And it also produces the children of obedience. Now, the father of lies and the mother of harlots here, they produce sinners. They produce lies. They also produce lying organizations. You know, that's government. That's other institutions that they call churches, the Catholics, the Baptists, the Methodists, what have yous. And, you know, that's found in 1 Timothy 4 and 12, the doctrine of devils. So my question to us, which side do we want to be on? Do we want to be on Christ's side and Christ's church? Or do we want to follow the things that the world is doing with the father of lies and the mother of harlots? I think I know the answer, and I think you all know the answer as well. You know, it could be a simple question, but we got to make sure that we focus on what the writer wrote in Hebrews 11 and 16, that it states that we are seeking for a better country, which is New Jerusalem, a better country. This country, we know, produces all these things. And if we listen to the propaganda and everything that's going on with it, we're going to fall right on this side. But if we focus on the word of God, the pure, unadulterated word of God, the truth, we're going to be on this side, the right side. So I just recommend all of us keep this scripture in our head with 1 John, one of my favorite, 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. And I can almost quote it, but I'd rather read it to you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And it reads as following: Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. They're going to lie to produce the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. They're going to send visual of lies so that we can lust over our eyes and the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Church, we got to make sure we're on this side. We got to make sure that we're producing the truth. And we got to make sure that we examine what folks say so that we can match it with the truth. And if it doesn't match, then it's on this side. You know, right now in this country and in surrounding areas, they're still following what the mother of Hollis established, the Roman Catholic Church proposed in 380 AD. And that's the Edict of Emperor Theodosius, if I'm pronouncing that correct, when he declared that Christianity to be a church state. The same thing. You know, that the issue with that is, if you're a born Roman citizen, that would be the equivalent of you're in the right, you're a part of the church. That's an issue. And they had to believe that barbarians, anyone that wasn't born or a Roman citizen, was not in the truth. You know, today Americans and other countries are making those same untruthful statements, saying that this is a Christian nation. That's what they're promoting. No, Christians live in this nation, but this is not a Christian nation. This nation ain't being produced by God. Okay? Members in here are citizens of America, but that doesn't mean that if you're a citizen of America, you are a Christian. So when a brother makes, when a man makes an untruthful statement that he's going to protect Christians and have it be the equivalent of saying Americans, that is not the truth. That is lies. And we got to make sure that we protect God's word, like Timothy stated. And we got to make sure that we stand fast in the word of God and let others know that it is a way to become a Christian. But you're not born a Christian by birth, by rebirth. And we got to make sure that we're not following this side with the father of lies and promoting these lies. You know, we who are the body of Christ, we know how to become a Christian. You know, you have to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. You got to believe and then be baptized, found in Mark 16:16. We got to repent, found in Luke 13:3. We got to confess. Jesus said, you confess me before my Father, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. That's found in Matthew 10:32. And we got to be baptized, found in Acts 2:38, with the brother read earlier this morning. And that's the only method to qualify an individual as a member of the Church of Christ, as a Christian. So my advice, if I could talk to that man, I would say, do you even know who Christians are? Do you know how to get in the Church of Christ? Because what you said offended me. You know, I will be truthful with them. Don't know how he will receive it, but I know I will give him my best to let him know and inform him what is the plan of salvation and how he can become a Christian as well. So, church, we got to make sure that we are the children of the light and we don't accept anything contrary to God's word, no matter who it comes from. We got to make sure that we protect the word of God. And my next lesson is going to be addressing the mother of harlots. I've been meaning to get to this ever since November, but I want to dissect every man-made religion out there right now. I can't do them all, but the major ones, and I'm going to combat them with the word of God, which is Christ. And but from now on, we got to make sure with this little, I guess I can't say illustration, but this writing, that we are part of Christ's church and we're producing the truth. We are the only eligible institution that can be called Christians, that we are part of God's family, the church, and we are the children of obedience. And again, I thank you for your time. I thought it was going to be a little longer, but I guess I compressed it a little better than I thought. And I just thank you guys for your time. Let's just make sure that hopefully this word fell on good ground and we can apply it to our lives. And when we speak to other individuals, we can break down what truly it means, the identity of Christ and identity of Christian. And we won't allow folks to misinform or misuse that word around us or, around us at any times. And I thank you guys for your attention. And now we're going to turn it into the hands of the one selected to come forth with a song. But if anyone have not obeyed the word of Christ, it's a perfect opportunity for you to get in God's church and become what's called a Christian, which was first cited at Antioch, and give yourself a chance of salvation. So the one selected can lead us in a song.